Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. This is our foundation scripture for this study that we're having. And the Lord just keeps leading me in this direction. I try to go different directions, but I love the way he just kind of pulls me back around. I'll go into my study time with one thought or one idea, and he brings it back around, and when I'm done with it, I'm like, okay, this is what they need to hear. You know better than I do what my congregation needs to hear. So we've been talking about this for several weeks now. We've talked about living a stress-free life, and in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, are you there? Proverbs 14, 30. What I want to do with you is just review a couple of things before we move on to the next step on this. But in Proverbs 14, 30, one of my favorite scriptures, it ministers to me so much. In the King James Version, it says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, envy the rottenness of the bones. Now, the Amplified Translation says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and the health of the body. As I've shared with you, it's interesting to me, the connection between the condition of our body and the things that we think, the attitudes that we carry, of course, the things that we say. And this is saying here, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and the health of the body. The Living Bible Translation says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. A relaxed attitude, not a lazy attitude, but a relaxed attitude in the fact that you are not carrying the care. You are not built to carry care. You're not built to carry the worry. You're certainly not built to carry the stress. It says in the Message Translation, a sound mind makes for a robust body. And the New Living Translation, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy life. So you see the connection there. You see the connection between walking in peace and the health of the body, as opposed to walking in stress and what it does to the body. And you have to make a decision about this. I'm going to live a stress-free life. I am. I'm going to live a stress-free life. I refuse to stress. Amen. I refuse the pressure and the stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. And as I've shared with you, scientific studies have linked stress to bad health. There are a number of things that we won't go over. I've already talked to you about a lot of these things, but one of the things about about stress is it shortens the lifestyle. It has a direct effect on the body. The if you look at presidents, for instance, and see what it does to them, that pressure and that stress. I'm thinking about several of them right now. I remember Lyndon Johnson and how he looked going into office and what he looked like coming out. Just the stress and the pressure of the weight of the nation on his shoulders, the Vietnam situation that was going on, everything else that he was dealing with. And he finally, when it came time for re-election, he refused to enter back into the race. At the end of his term, he left. And so you see that in people. And so that, to me, is the Lord speaking to us and saying, we've got to do something about this. Because people don't connect the dots. They live under constant pressure. Then they get used to it. And then they begin to experiencing things in their body, and they don't put the two together. Like it says here in the King James, it says, envy is the rottenness of the bones. So what does that say to us? Don't envy. Don't get into that place. Anger talks a lot about anger and the effects that anger have on the physical body. I want to live a healthy, strong life. 120 years. Anybody for that in here? 120 strong, strong years. So we talked about how we overcome stress. We overcome stress by casting all of our care onto the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Casting all of the care, all of the worry, all of the concerns over onto him. Say this after me. I cast right now all of my care, all of my worry, all concern over everything over onto him. He can carry it. He can take care of it. He can handle it. But you have to cast that, or it also talks about rolling that care over unto him. Then we talked about this. We overcome stress by laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. Ha ha ha! Doing that, that is not a like a silly thing. That's, if you will allow me to use the terminology, it's a serious thing in the kingdom of God. Because of what Proverbs 17:22 says. Turn over there and look at that in your Bible. Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. When we see the word merry there, merry, that literally means to laugh, to have joy. Yeah, exactly, just like that. And it does good as a medicine or as a cure. That's what the Hebrew says about the word medicine. It's a cure. It is a cure. And I have just been practicing that lately. I've just been laughing based on this scripture. A merry heart does good like a medicine. And just endeavoring to laugh at things. And I want to show you something. This is a clip from Jesse Duplantis. There you are, you're laughing already just at the sound of that name. And it's something that Jeremy sent me. It came up on his phone. And it was from a 1996 ministers' conference here. It was taking place over in the chapel building. And I just wanted to bring it to you today because I want you to practice laughing and enjoying something like this. So take a look at your screens and let Jesse make you laugh.
I have a Cajun heritage of a friend of mine named Boudreaux and Fontenot and Gautreau. And they won some tickets to the 1996 Summer Olympics. So Boudreaux said, man, I gotta call my friend Fontenot. I gotta call Gautreau, you know, and tell him maybe they want to come with me, you know what I mean? So he called them two boys. That's his first cousin, his second cousin. For you people in Texas, that's cousin. Boudreaux said, I'm going to throw you something there. Fontenot, man, I got some three tickets to the Summer Olympics. You want to go? Oh, shy, bon Dieu, yeah. He said, you think Gautreau want to go? Oh, sacré, yeah. Man, let's go. So, man, they get on that plane. They fly over down there, Atlanta. They start to walk up to the gate. Boudreaux look in his pocket and he said, my God, I done forgot the tickets. And Fontenot said, what's the matter with you? You know how much money going to cost for us to get these tickets? I'm going in there. And Boudreaux said, man, how you going to go, Fontenot? How you going to go? He said, I'm going to figure out something. So, man, Fontenot look around. He see a Sharpie go over there, buy him a white shirt, buy him some white shorts, some white shoes. He pick up a basketball. He go to that front gate. And the man was from Texas. And he said, USA, basketball. He said, come on in. Got on the other side of the fence. Fontenot went. Gautreau said, man, I can do that too. So he go down there and buy him a white shirt, some white shorts, some white shoes. He look around, he see his javelin laying on the ground. He walk up to that man and he say, USA team, track and field. Man, he said, come on in. Now Boudreaux said, ain't that something? I'm the one got the ticket and I got to stay outside. Man, I got to do something fast. So he go down to that store, he buy him that white shirt, he buy him them white shorts and them shoes. He look around, he don't see nothing. He said, well, what I'm going to use? And he see a roll of barbed wire. He pick up that barbed wire and he walk to that Man, he said, USA, fencing. That's adaptability.
I have just watched that over and over again. It just makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Some of the things that we talked about, laughter relaxes the whole body. These are actual scientific medical studies that have been done on the study of laughter and joy where the physical body is concerned. It relaxes the whole body. It says that laughter boosts the immune system. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins. Laughter protects the heart. And one of the studies that came out, 2005, laughter causes the inner lining of blood vessels to expand in order to increase blood flow. Ha, 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 He's used to us doing that. He's not accustomed to being laughed at. He's accustomed to being respected. He doesn't know how to take it when he comes against us and we laugh at him. That's a powerful statement. One of the things we talked about in Proverbs 15:15, we overcome stress by living in a state of perpetual joy. You and I can live in a state of perpetual joy no matter what is going on and no matter what is happening. And it says in verse 15, he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. It's nonstop. It's happening all the time. In Philippians 4:4, you're familiar with this one. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This was written by the Apostle Paul in prison. And he's telling the Philippians, in the book of Philippians, 19 times it is listed joy or rejoice. 19 times in that letter. And he's coming from behind bars. He's telling them, you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what we need to be doing. And then in Psalm 511, it said, let all those that put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy. Ever shout for joy. And we learned last week that the word ever means always shout for joy. It means eternally. Eternally, we are going to be shouting for joy. So we should start that right now. We should begin that right now. Whoa! Whoa! I am in practice for heaven. Heaven training. No sad faces in heaven. No down faces in heaven. But that joy is something that you and I, we have to do that. And so now down here in my notes, which guys, I don't have this on my notes, but I'll quote this to you. Things just, the more I've been meditating on this, the more is coming to me. It's like just a download from heaven continually about this. And I can tell when the Lord is dealing with me about something like this, I need it. I have to have it. And I know when he's dealing with me about it, I know that my congregation needs to have this. We need to lighten up. Need to lighten up. That's part of standing in faith. That's part of believing God. One of the things I wrote down, I wrote this down while Pastor John was speaking today. What a marvelous message that was. Show me a person who's walking by faith, and I'll show you a joyful believer. And that goes right along with what Paul said in Philippians 1:26. He was having to make a decision between leaving here and going to heaven. He said, for your sake, I'm going to stay for your furtherance and for your joy of faith. So you show me someone who is walking by faith, I will show you a person who is filled with joy. Filled with gladness, filled with thanksgiving, filled with gratitude. And there are people like that. It's amazing to see people who you look at somebody and go, they just have a smile on their face all the time. And they have things happen to them, just like we all have things happen to us and things take place in our lives. But I'm telling you, it's how we deal with it and how we face it. And the Lord wants us to live, even though there's stress going on around us, he wants us to live a stress-free, faith-filled life. And faith in faith is joy. And I wrote this down, we overcome stress by serving the Lord with joy and gladness of heart. We overcome stress by serving the Lord with joy and gladness of heart. Now, where did I get that? And that was from Deuteronomy 28:47. And it says in the New Living Translation, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, King James says gladness, for the abundant benefits you receive, you'll serve your enemies. And one of your enemies is stress. One of your enemies is pressure. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and with gladness for the abundant benefits you receive, you'll serve your enemies. So I, just in the last 24 hours or so, in reading the scripture, and actually Brother Copeland quoted it yesterday at the healing school, and he was talking about this scripture, serving the Lord with gladness. And I just made a decision within myself. I made a decision, I wrote this down, I overcome stress by serving the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart. I am going to serve the Lord with joyfulness. I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness of heart. And oftentimes, with pressures that we face and things that are going on, you just have to really correct yourself in that and say, I'm going to serve him with gladness. You've heard Brother Copeland talk about how much he disdained doing television. And the Lord brought that scripture to him. And he may begin to make the confession. I love doing TV. And the first time he went back into the studio, the joy of the Lord hit him and he danced around. Well, that's the same thing with us. What's going on in your life that you're so agitated about, so aggravated about, whether it's a job that you have or family issues or things are going on. And for me, I'm going to serve the Lord with joy and gladness. I'm going to give him a Jesse smile. So that's how you overcome stress that way. You tell the Lord, I'm going to serve you with joy. Say this after me. I serve the Lord,
with joy.
With joy.
Gladness of heart.
And enthusiasm. There's just really somebody, the people that work for us that have enthusiasm. It's contagious. It's absolutely contagious. And instead of you being one that is influenced by that person, you be contagious about how enthusiastic you are. And as you do that, the Lord will continue to promote you and lift you, because he's looking for some enthusiastic, joyful, appreciative, grateful people. He can use people like that. He can promote people like that. This other scripture that I found in Psalm 100, verse 2, the New American Standard Translation, serve the Lord your God with gladness, come before him with joyful singing. Serve the Lord with joyful gladness, come before him with joyful singing. So we're talking about a complete change in attitude, maybe even personality, that we as men, the men that are in here, the older we get, we're not going to become grumpy old men. You got that? We're not going to be grumpy old men. I'm a grandfather. I'm a card-carrying grandfather. Any grandfathers in here? I love being a grandfather. I have wanted to be a grandfather since I was a child. Really, it's true. It's very true. I've wanted to be a grandfather. And you can ask Terry, in our marriage, raising our children, I wasn't a father to them. I was a grandfather to them. I was. I couldn't wait to become a grandfather. And on Thursday, Aubrey was with us. Aubrey was leading worship. Maybe some of you saw her there at the meeting. And she brought Eiley with her, 8-year-old Eiley. And we had a blast together. We just had the best time with each other. And I'm fully aware of what a grandfather means to a grandchild. I'm fully aware of that because of the way my grandfather treated me. And I remember that as I'm with Eiley, and I spend time with her, and I listen to her, and I pay attention to her, and have fun with her, and enjoy her company. And just really, she sat next to me during the whole meeting. She would lean over, talk to me. She would say things about the meeting. And it was just a joy. It was just a delight to be able to be with her. And I'm just so determined that I am not going to be a grumpy old man. Terry, I'm not going to be a grumpy old man. I'm not. I'm not going to go that way. I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart. And I'm drinking up. In Habakkuk 3, let me just read this scripture to you because I want to get to something here today. We read this last week, Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. We laugh the most when pressure is the greatest. You got to laugh the most in the Lord, in him, by faith, at situations. One of the things that we did during the meeting that we had with Brother Copeland, and I have the privilege of coming out welcoming everybody, one of the things that we did, we laughed at Hurricane Dorian. We laughed at that hurricane. That's a step of faith. And standing in faith for the belief for people that are up and down in East Coast. But it does something. I'll get to that in just a moment, what it does. But we laughed at it. But it says here in verses 17 and 18, the New Living, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though or in spite of the olive crop failing and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And that's what joy does. Joy makes you like that sure-footed deer able to tread upon the heights. Joy will literally lift you up. The joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is, fill in the blank. The joy of the Lord is my
strength.
It's my strength. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Terry and I have been practicing that with each other here recently. Issues will come up. Things will happen. We'll start talking about an issue. And all of a sudden, one of us will go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. And it really does something. It lifts you into a place of faith. It really, it's a stress breaker, a stress inhibitor, if you will. And it gets your mind off of the seriousness of the problem, and it brings it back over into a place of faith. It really acts the same way as praying in tongues. I would dare say that some of this laughter that we do is tongues. It's a form of tongues. And as you do that, and you slip over into, you may be praying in the spirit over some, you are looking at me so strange. I wish I had a picture of this right now. But it really is. It is a spiritual activity. It is a spiritual activity. When we talk about laughing, we're not just talking about something giddy. We're talking about a spiritual movement that takes place. We're talking about something that changes you. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a product of the Spirit. But it must be exercised in the same way that love is exercised. Patience is exercised. You have to exercise that joy muscle. The joy muscle that you have has to be developed. Maybe the love muscle is something that you've been developing. But there's spiritual muscles that have to be developed, and joy is one of them. Joy is one of those muscles that has to be developed. Joy is one of the forces of the recreated human spirit. Joy, and this is the title of the message, joy is our secret weapon. It is a secret weapon, and do not underestimate it. Do not underestimate the joy of the Lord. It is your strength. It will heal your body. It will bring peace to your mind. It will change the way you think. And it'll bring you in line with what the Word of God says to you. What are you doing? You're exercising that joy muscle. And as we just read in Habakkuk 3, it is an act of faith. Habakkuk was acting by faith, even though this is going wrong. I mean, you fill in the blanks there. Even though that's happening and that's happening and that's happening, the key words are, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Now, it's easy when you watch Jesse and you listen to him tell a story like that. But when you're facing something serious, there's an act that has to be taken by faith. It's called a faith laugh. And to get yourself over into a place of a position of authority in joy. In joy. And so many times you can see it on people's faces. When something happens, something's taking place, pressure of finances, pressure of family, whatever it is. And you can see they're just drawn. And that's not helping your faith at all. That does nothing for you. It really doesn't. It doesn't help you. It doesn't aid you. The carrying of the care and the carrying of the worry, that will do you no good. All that worry will produce in your life and care and stress is pressure on the physical body in the mind. So what you have to do is you have to approach joy just like you do anything else by faith. I choose to be joyful. Right in the middle of this thing, I choose to be joyful. And in choosing to be joyful, it not only changes your attitude, it starts turning your situation around. It's like a plane that's spiraling downward. And all of a sudden, you say, the finance is this, and the family is that, and the sickness is this. And all of a sudden, before it hits ground, you just start saying, but I choose, yet I rejoice. I rejoice in the Lord my God. And it'll pull it out of that spin and get it back up to where it's supposed to be. Praise and worship and rejoicing and joy are all things that we need to be practicing and exercising. When this is going on and that is going on and the other's going on, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. I will be. That's a choice. I will be. Wife, you and I will be we will be joyful. Husband, we will be joyful over this. And husbands and wives, you need to cooperate with this. You need to cooperate with each other. There is, I think, one of the greatest things about our marriage is the yielding that we have towards each other. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. She'll say something or I'll say something. But at the same time, there's a yielding to each other. And if we're in some kind of a conversation about negative stuff that's going on, if one of us brings up faith in the middle of it, boy, it'll you just turn it right away. You don't storm off. You don't run into the other room pouting, mad at each other because you got corrected over something. But you just have to work with each other. And that's what a marriage does. That's what a marriage is for, to work with each other and to help each other to do what you should do. Smith Wigglesworth said, faith laughs at impossibilities. It laughs. It literally laughs at impossibilities. And Mark Hankins said this, pick out something that looks impossible and go ahead and laugh at it. Yeah. I don't care what it is. Pick it out. Just pick it out. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Do you know that laughter is a form of praise? It is. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. The physical body, you laugh. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. By his stripes I am healed. Ha ha. Oh. The joy, it does something. Things are going on the inside. When you're doing that, and there's laughter. And like Smith says, he says, laugh at the impossibilities. Pick out something. Pick out something, he said, that looks impossible, and go ahead and laugh at it. The devil will say it's never going to change. It'll always be that way. And you say, ha, ha, ha. You say, I'm not going to live under that stress. Say it. He said, if you laugh, you'll get the benefits of it even though you don't feel like it. Some people call it a fake laugh. It's actually a faith laugh. If you do that, if you make the decision, I'm going to look at that thing square in the eye and I'm going to laugh at it. There's intimidation in the spirit world. Have you ever been intimidated? Has someone ever intimidated you? Or have you just felt something come on you that is intimidation? That's all in the realm of the spirit. And there are tools that you can use, that you can pick up in the realm of the spirit to defeat the enemy. And that's why joy is a secret weapon. Do not underestimate the power of joy, the force of it, and what it will do. You think that hurricane thing, whatever hurricane it is powerful? You have never met the force of joy and what it'll do. and what it will do. It's a spiritual force. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, the results of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And it produces results. And again, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's my strength. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, I'm going to read to you a couple of scriptures and we're going to finish up with 2 Chronicles 20. I'll get over there myself, 2 Chronicles 20. And if you want to, you can write these couple of scriptures down. Joy is our secret weapon. It is a secret weapon. And in Job 5:22 in the NIV, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. That's a thou shalt. I don't know if you ever knew there's a thou shalt laugh in the Bible. But at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh, and neither shall you be afraid of the beasts of the earth. Fear. Fear. I'm telling you, when you step over into a place of the joy of the Lord, fear leaves. Fear is intimidated by joy. See, these are all spiritual activities. It's not something that you're necessarily drumming up. You're just pulling out one of the tools of the Spirit, putting it into action. And we've been given tools. We've been given the ability through the name of Jesus, the angels of God, the blood of the Lamb, and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. In Job 8:21, it says, he laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. He does not shy away from the sword, and I put in parentheses, of the Spirit. We do not shy away from the sword of the Spirit. He laughs at fear. Ha ha ha. I mean, it may seem strange to you. I know it's strange to some of you because you're staring at me, but it will do something on the inside of you. For many years, working in this ministry, there was a heaviness that was on me. The pressures, the demands, the situations. And as the years have gone by, I have consciously made a decision on the inside. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going there anymore. And the wonderful thing about practicing these things, you get practiced at it, you get good at it, you get skillful at it. You begin to get skillful at it, looking at an impossibility and laughing at it, entering into the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And that's what you have to do. Well, he laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. In Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Matthew 21:16 says, praise because of your enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. Praise will stop the enemy. Praise God. Praise God. Praise, which is a form of joy, will stop the enemy in your life. Just start praising God. Just start praising Him, glorifying Him in the midst of whatever's going on. And it will shut down the activity of the devil because it will stop him. He's coming after you. He's coming after you. Pastor John, I'll use you in this example. Stand over there. You are the enemy. And I'm standing here. And I'm worrying and I'm concerned and I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. And the more I'm thinking about, the more you're coming closer and closer to me. And I can just feel that presence. I can just feel it coming closer, closer and closer. Oh, the weight, the pressure, the stress. Oh, then all of a sudden I think about, what that psalm says. And then I just begin to praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. what it does. That's what it does. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Strength, praise go together. Strength, praise, joy, rejoice. All of those are spiritual heavyweights. Spiritual heavyweights. Psalm 9, 1 through 3. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name. O thou most high, when my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Psalm 16, I believe, 11. I believe that's it. Let me double check. Spell check. Is that the one? Yeah, let me read it from my Bible. Psalm 16. We just said, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Psalm 16, 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. There are some services that we have. They're different places of worship. And sometimes you get on over into that place of just, whew, the heavy, weighty glory sets in. But remember, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. See, that's what I'm pressing into, is the fullness of the joy of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what you've been through, the things that you've gone through. And there's some people, I think if we had a testimony line of the past of everybody in here, we'd be here all day into the night telling us your story, what happened to you, what took place with you, the things that took place in your life. But when you step over into the place of the joy of the Lord, there is an erasing that takes place. There is a place in the joy of the Lord where you absolutely forget the past. You can't remember what they said to you. You can't remember what they did to you. That's selective memory. And when you got your eyes looking at Him all the time, that face of Jesus is just burning its image into you, and it's flushing out the past. What would it be like to have all the stuff, the bad stuff that went on? What would that be like for it to be completely flushed out of a human being? Think of the joy. Think of not carrying that anymore. I mean, it would do us well to if there's stuff that just keeps coming back up, you, it's like the Bapa demon or the whack-a-mole. I don't know why I call it Bapa demon. I guess it's the whack-a-mole. And that thing pops up, you pop it back down. Pops up, you pop it back down. It pops up, you pop it back down. Until you get to the place where it's just not there. And part of that comes from rejoicing in the Lord. That comes from the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And it flushes that out. It completely, completely cleanses. That's the force of joy. That's the force of what joy will do. Let me just read this scripture to you and we'll finish this up for today. In 2 Chronicles 20, and I'll just read this scripture to you, verses 21 and through 23. We're talking here about Jehoshaphat, the battle that took place. They came to him, they said, we're surrounded, we have no chance, what are we gonna do? And Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast. He turned his eyes to the Lord. That's what we have to do. We've got to turn our eyes to the Lord. Whatever's going on, you got to turn your eyes to the Lord. And then the word of the Lord began to come, said, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. So they go through all of this, and in verse 21, verse 21, when he had, I'll read it from my New Living, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, it says to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly destroyed to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy each other. So here's what happened. This is the scenario. The Lord spoke. Actually, he consulted with the people. They fasted. They prayed. They went before the Lord. They confirmed their stand with him. And when they did that, then they talked amongst each other. And when the people talked to him, then he appointed singers unto the Lord. Praisers unto the Lord. And he set them out front. And it said they began to sing and to praise. Now we're talking about the joy, the rejoicing, and the power that's in that rejoicing, in that laughter, if you will. They began to sing. So I looked up the word sing. What does that mean? When we think of sing, you know, what comes to mind, what songs or whatever. But let's see what the Hebrew says about sing. Sing means to shout for joy. That's what that means in the Hebrew. Shout for joy. Rejoice. Be glad. See, they're facing their enemies. That's what you and I have to do. That's what we have to do. Because the force of joy will stop and shut down the enemy in our lives. Shout for joy. Rejoice. Be glad. And it also means triumphant proclamations. That's what the singers did. They made triumphant proclamations. We're going to run all over you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like cheerleaders at a football game. Coming out with cheers. Holy Ghost cheers. Push him back. Push him back. Way back. Push him back. Push him back. Way back. Push him back. Push him back. Way back. Oh, I see some cheerleaders in here. I see there's one right there. There's one right there. Any cheerleaders in here? Oh, look at them. Look at them. You know what I'm talking about. The purpose of a cheerleader is to stir up the crowd. Not to stand there and saying, they're defeating us. They're defeating us. They're pushing back, pushing us back, way back. And all the crowd is just hanging their heads. No. The purpose of a cheerleader is to stir up the crowd, to excite the crowd, and to out-shout the enemy. So that the enemy team, hears what's going on over there. And they go, wow, there's more spirit over there than there is over here. We're getting beat. We're getting beat bad. And that's what he sent these people out to do, into the battle, facing the enemy. And it had such an effect. Joy messes up the devil and his cohorts. It just absolutely confuses them. It sends out some kind of a dog signal. that they're fighting, they turn, they fight each other. They turn and they fight each other. I need a group of guys right over here. Group of guys, right front row. Group of guys. Come on. Go, 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 go. Guys, 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 guys. Guys, here we go. And gather up as like a crowd, like a crowd. 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 No, 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 no. No, just. No, you're the enemy. Just kind of crowd and face me. And so you guys are like, That's good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Okay, so you guys, you are the enemy. Ammon, Moabites, whateverites out there. You've banded together to destroy. Yes, yes. Yes, more. Give me more. And here comes the children of Israel stepping out. And they come and they stand there and they go, woo! Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! And while we do, the next scene of this is while we do this, then you start fighting each other. Whoa, okay. Boys will be boys. Okay, so we'll take it from the top. All right, battle scene, take two. Go. Wait, hold on. Wait, stop. I need some women right here. Ladies. Ladies, right here. All right, that's perfect. That's perfect. So what they're going to do, they're going to go, when we start the scene again, they're going to go ahead and they're going to, I need several more guys up here. I need a little more crowd. Do I have any men in this church? What's up with you guys?
They don't want to fight each other.
All right. Lights, camera. Now, what's going to happen is they're going to do that. Let him roll for a little bit. Just let him go for a little bit, and then just begin to shout. Just begin to praise. Just begin to glorify the Lord. And then when that happens, then you'll turn and fight each other. All right? Okay. Now, I'm doing this for a purpose. That's the enemy of what's going on in your life right now. This is you. Okay, quiet on the set. Lights, camera. Action.